Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Now, we know it's Saturday morning, and we know things are special on WIP at Saturday morning at 8 o'clock for a lot of reasons. But this is a special, special morning. It's a special morning for me. Hopefully it's a special morning for a lot of people. And let me just tell you the reasons and the ways. It's special because tomorrow is the actual date of my first show and WIP's first sports talk show, August 29th, 1986. But today we are celebrating that 35th anniversary. And I've had such a great relationship with Borgata. I've been doing shows here for 16 years, almost from the beginning when the Borgata was a really prime player in our market in Atlantic City on the East Coast. And I'm here at the Borgata to start things off for the football season on Saturday mornings at the Borgata and to celebrate my 35th anniversary and, just as important, WIP's 35th anniversary. We weren't full-time, but we started the ball rolling and then added shows, and it became WIP is one of the bigger powerhouses in the United States of America as a radio station. I think we're better than New York, even though that monster I created is up running that station in New York as their brand manager, program director. He can say what he wants about New York, but WIP really is the powerhouse of America when it comes to radio stations and sports talk stations. And, you know, that station in New York is one in our company, but, yeah, it's New York. Come on now. This is where it's at. We don't have to worry about 25 teams because they have so many different teams. We just have to worry, and we do worry about our teams, because right now I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel other than a freight train coming at us and ready to run us down as the Phillies just limp to the end of the season. They won last night, but that's not what we're going to talk about. If you want to, you can. But I want to celebrate, but I want to celebrate with what we do. And we talk about sports. I'd love to hear your memories. And Dick Vermeil. Dick Vermeil is an interesting case, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame next year. We did not see, eye to eye when he first came on or after he was here early in his years as coach of the Eagles. And he's going to come on at about 8:25. Talk about it. I says, hey, just tell him what you thought about me. And he wasn't a fond person of mine. Charles Barkley is doing some good things in Alabama trying to get people to get vaccines. And if he's up, he's going to come on in the 9 o'clock hour. The only convicted felon that I know that's been a part of this show is going to try to call Arthur. He's the only convicted felon I know about, I've had on this show. There's probably some others, but they don't. Actually, you know what? There was another, and Arthur likes to be compared to him. I just thought about this memory. I went out when we had a story. Well, we started spouting off nonsense about Joey Merlino. There is no mob. There's no mafia. It's organized crime. But whatever, Joey was running organized crime in Philadelphia. He will never admit to that publicly. But Joey Merlino, so I went to his coffee shop to check out the story. I never met him. And he came on the air with me. How many people have a mob boss? Have a mob boss come on the air with him on a radio station? I think it's in our archive somewhere. It's somewhere there's audio. And I have the cassette. The cassette tape of Joey Merlino on the air. The feds were outside the station. They said, no, boys, he's not coming in. He's going to be on the phone. But they used to be outside his coffee shop all the time. So he was a convicted, is a convicted felon. Spent 12 and a half years in jail the first time, and then he went back. And I've met Joey a few times. I'm not going to say, you know, Joey was whatever. But he was the first. So Arthur actually is the second convicted felon who's been on this show. So there are memories. There are memories of people. There are memories of players. There are memories of different things. How about that? You know what? We're going to get, and I'm going to get to him. That's nice. Somebody's on the line that obviously wants to wish me a happy anniversary. But we'll talk about the moments. Your thoughts, your memories, how you started listening to WIP, but we want to talk about the Eagles. Now your thoughts, now you whined for 2 weeks about the Eagles. You whined. There was 31 points last night. Okay, it ended up being a tie. It's, you know, it's whatever, and they don't play overtime in the preseason. But we'll talk about the Eagles. We'll talk about a lot of things. But I want to get this guy up because he really he's a part of the fiber of Philadelphia. He is, and I hope I get his title correct, president of the Philadelphia Eagles. How do I put this up? Right there. And that would be Don Smolinski. Don, how are you this fine morning? Bright and early after a wonderful, wonderful long night last night of a game that I know you were concerned may not get off the ground last night. But good morning, and thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. Genius, good morning. It was, right, I know, knowing I was going to dial in this morning, I was like, okay, I don't need a rain delay till 9, 10 o'clock at night, but fortunately it went much quicker. We were able to kick off sooner and didn't get home, you know. It was before 2, so that was all right, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to obviously give you a call. I was to this morning to congratulate you on 35 years. That's amazing, and to be honest, I'll tell you what, I actually feel fairly blessed because you've always only called me the genius. You've never called me a nitwit or a moron, so I feel pretty good about that.
Well, I can start if you want to. You know what, there'll be something. You know, you kind of stay, obviously you do a lot of important things for the Eagles, but you stay under the radar because people kill the coach. They'll kill the quarterback at one time or another. They'll kill the assistant coaches. I mean, they kill – you can go right down. I mean, I don't even know. They don't know Dom well enough, but I do. They could kill Dom, and we know Dom, and we love him. Dom is that big, heavy guy that walks off and on with the coach for every game. But, yeah, you know, I'll get to you at some point, Don. But, you know, it's just it's nice. It's a nice association with WIP. I've had a nice association. And I'll say this. Before I was doing sideline stuff, I know there were a lot of people that were pissed at me from the Eagles because of the opinions I have. Everybody just thinks I kiss your ass. But you guys won a Super Bowl. You were the last ones to win a championship in Philadelphia. But there were times, man, I'm telling you, it was some nasty times, and Vermeil's going to come on. Mm-hmm. He was not a fan of mine because I was critical of how hard he worked the players and how long. And we're going to talk about that. But were you ever mad at me, Don? Were you ever mad at me?
I can say, Howard, I've never been mad at you. And look, I think that's a testament to your 35 years. Is you know, you have an ability to have relationships with the team, but at the same token, you have always kept. Your opinions of your opinions. You and I maybe have from time to time talked about some different thoughts and different opinions, but we were more just exchanging conversations and ideas, and you know, we respected one another's opinions, and so you know, I think that it probably speaks to something about longevity. Is that you know, I think you know, you care about Philadelphia, you care about the sports teams, and you know, but at the same token, you know, you come firing at it, and but you know, I think. You know, and that, but trying to find a way to keep it respectful, I think, is the most important thing. Because you know, I think that's what it's all about. It's about respect. It's about relationships, and you know, and just being able to have you know, conversations, honest conversations with each other.
You know, I'm going to do something that I'm probably not going to get an answer. Don't you think Jalen Hurts should have played more downs than 10 in the piece?
See, this is probably one of the reasons why I get to stay under the radar screen, is because I stay in my lane. So the good news, I don't have to answer it. But, Howard, before I let you get all to, I'm sure, so many people who want to congratulate you and wish you well this morning. And, I have two things. One, there's a special a guest, a friend, who's around the corner there outside, who I think hopefully he's going to find his way into your studio, because we have something for you.
He just walked in.
You might recognize him. You might recognize him as our senior vice president, chief financial officer, but you might more recognize him as you know, our Super Bowl spotter for Merrill for WIP. So he's got something for you, and he will present it for you on behalf of Jeffrey and the entire Philadelphia Eagles organization. And Howard, also, you know, for everything you've done, I don't want to overlook, you know, underneath the fur coat and maybe underneath the beard you have now, and that crazy beard you had during 2020 when you were Forrest Gump walking to Tampa and all over the world around your local park there. You know, you've raised a lot of money for charities over years, whether it was the Eagles Autism Foundation or Phil Abundance or the SPCA, Brandywine, or whatever cause. You have done a lot of good for a lot of people. I know way back when in 2004, 2005, I saw something about $75,000 you raised, which, so I think that's part of your legacy. That's part of your tribute here in Philadelphia. And, so I know Frank's going to give you that gift. And
yeah, Frank, you know, did. He stopped by. It's a jersey with 35 on it. I didn't know you knew my age.
we were fortunate. Boston Scott was willing to share with us.
Oh, okay. My name on the back, so it's nice. And I appreciate you guys are great. Philadelphia's been great to me, you know, a lot of different ways. And I wanted to thank you and Frank Yemi, you guys have become friends, and it's hard to do in the business that we're in, that I'm in and you're in, but it's not hard to do with guys like you. So I want to tell you that, I mean, Nick's cool with me now, Nick Sirianni, but there's going to be times he's going to be pissed off at me, but that's all right. I told Nick, I said, you know, when I first got together with him and I got him to know me and me know him, I said, you know, you're going to win a game by 14 points and you're going to get questions from the media questioning things you did during the game because two touchdowns wasn't enough. So he just started laughing. He says, that's what I signed up for. I says, get ready for it, big boy. The first one started when he pulled the offensive line when Jalen didn't play in that second preseason game. So he sucked that up. So, but it's all good. I don't want to digress from your who you are and you're calling in and the jersey and Frank and all the people that are all part of this. And you know, and I'm happy to be a part of the Eagles Autism Challenge with the foundation, and happy to help in any way I can. And I've done that for a lot of people, and that's just. Yeah. Part of what I do, and I'm never going to stop that. And you know what? Unfortunately for some, I don't think I'm ever going to stop working. And unfortunately for our president, David Yagaroff, he said, no, 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 I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop. No, well, it's okay. No, 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 I don't want to stop. So, but anyway, thanks for checking in, Don.
Yeah, congratulations. Enjoy the morning and enjoy the time. Congratulations on 35 years. It's awesome.
All right. Hey, thanks. And all right, have a great day.
Thanks, Howard.
All right. You know what? You know the one thing? Okay. I don't know how to shut this. I haven't operated the call screen for so long, but that's all right. We're good. We got the call off. All right, let me give you the numbers. It's nice. You can come out, and there's people out here. And I'm going to cut the cake soon and offer people, anybody that wants a piece of cake, that the Borgata was nice enough to make, the 35th anniversary cake. But I want to hear your thoughts, 215-592-9494. And I do want to hear your thoughts about the Eagles as well. Your thoughts after the last preseason game, you know, I expressed it with Don Smolenski. I too don't think Jalen Hurts had enough snaps. I think he needed more than 10 snaps in this game. Heck, Patrick Mahomes played last night. Patrick Mahomes in the third, and Andy Reid said, I saw him last night when I got back from New York or New Jersey or whatever that swampland is called. He said, I wanted to get him some snaps. And that's what the Eagles, I don't think, did enough of. But your thoughts on that and your thoughts on whatever about my 35 years. 215-592-9494. We're at the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa here in Atlantic City. WIP Sports Time is now 8:15. 94 WIP, it's a big day. But it's always a big day at WIP. But 35th anniversary, and let's get right to the phones. Chick Vermeil will join us in minutes. But where is it? Jack, you should feel honored. You're on before Coach.
Oh, nice, nice. Howard, happy anniversary. Thanks for the 35 years of keeping it real. You're the man, my man. You are the man.
Well, and you don't always agree with me, and you still think I'm keeping it real, huh?
Absolutely, buddy, absolutely.
And there'll be a lot of times you don't agree with me. Now, Jack, being from South Philly, I had a caller a couple of weeks ago, and he said he started listening with his mother when he was 11 years old, when she was in the kitchen cooking gravy. And I said, it was brown, right? And he said, no, it's red. I said, no, gravy is brown. You being from South Philadelphia, to you, gravy is not brown, it's red, right?
Always red.
That's a joke.
Howard, let me share you my one experience I
sure.
had. I had a few of them because I used to run into you at the building a few times. I worked up there for 21 years.
Okay.
And my favorite time with you was when the Phillies won. You were in the parade, you came over, you took a picture with me, my mother, and my neighbor, Anita. I still have the picture. It's one of my favorite pictures of all times.
And
unfortunately, my mother's not here with us no more.
Was that the 80 parade?
No. No.
It was the 08.
Come on, man.
Get the year right. How can you not? They win a championship once every 100 years, and you can't even get the year right? Phillies are going to go to the World Series this year, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, right.
I got a better shot being a priest.
And that ain't happening. All right, just stick with the gravy, and it's brown, by the way. All right. Hey, thanks,
you're the man, Howard. Thanks for the 35 years, pal.
All right, you know what? It's a pleasure, actually, to be here for the most part. And a man that was part of my 35 years, and he was actually a big part, good and bad. And next year, we're celebrating today my 35th anniversary of the first sports talk show at WIP, and WIP starting sports talk in August of 86. But a man that was part of it, and he'll be celebrating next year, and I'm sure he will, and we all hope he will, into the Hall of Fame, and that would be Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Dick. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Harold. Harold.
Yeah.
It's a little bit
I know early. It's early. You're in California. It's 5:25 in the morning.
Believe me, it wasn't hard to wake up. I haven't hardly slept since I got the announcement.
Well, that's great. All right, Dick. Now, I'm going to come right out of the show. Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you a question about Jalen Hurts. Not how good he is, because we don't know that yet. But and I heard Andy Reid, and we both agree Andy Reid's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. He said he played Patrick Mahomes last night because he wanted him to get snaps in the last preseason game. Do you think Jalen Hurts with 10 snaps got enough snaps to get ready for this season?
You know, remember my age and my vintage.
Yes, I do.
And when I say I don't agree with somebody and how they do it, it doesn't mean I'm telling them they're wrong and I'm right. I just don't agree. I would play them more.
And I don't know, how can he be ready for the first game with only four games last year? No camp last year. Now he had camp this year. I don't want to hear about those scrimmages being games. That's a joke. But the reality is, you know, 10 snaps going into your first full season as an NFL quarterback, how's that going to work?
Hopefully it works well. I like learning new things, and if you could do it that way, I'm all for it. I just didn't believe it could be done that way. And, you know, Andy Reid doesn't either. You know, there's nothing like having many, many years of experience and experiencing a lot of success. You know, and, I'm proud of the fact that I'm the only coach that coached three different NFL teams that at one time during each career with each team, they were the only undefeated team in football coming out of training camp. So we were doing something right. We played them more. That's all of them were.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I'm right. And they're doing a lot of things different in the NFL today for a lot of reasons. But I do know this. The coaching staff believes he will be ready or they would have played him. You don't want to take a chance on gambling that your quarterback will be ready to play in the opener.
Right.
That's the most important game of the year. It's not the Super Bowl. It's the most important game of the year. It's the only one you're playing.
All right, Dick. Now, I'm going to take you back. And you can be honest, because I think I can say we're good friends now.
No question.
And you listen to the show every Saturday. We talk a lot. But at the beginning, you were not a fan of mine, and you can tell people because we laugh about it now. I remember that Herm Edwards coming out of a meeting. He says, "Hey man, what did you do to coach?" Herb's great. And then I laugh about it. My first day in television, we were at the Maxwell Club, and you buried me. You buried me in front of all those people, and I'm okay with that. Because we both have strong opinions. But what did you really think about me when you first, I don't know if it's when you first got to know me or you heard some of the stuff that I said on the air?
Well, if you remember, Tom Brookshire sort of set the theme for that meeting himself, and he jumped somebody in the media world, okay, really strong. What upset me about you, I heard the comments you made about Billy Cunningham, Sixers coach, and I really admired the guy. I really liked him.
We're good friends, too.
Shot at him, and that really pissed me off.
So really?
I came to that Maxwell Club in defense of Billy Cunningham. Nothing what you said about me or anybody else. And it upset me. And here we're sitting in the front of a large, maybe 1,000 people, and huge luncheon, and you representing the sports world, and what you said about Billy, I thought, God, this guy's the lousiest representative of our sports world here in Philadelphia.
Wow, I never knew that. Billy and I probably talk at least once a week to this day, and he would yell at me coming into a game when he was a coach about something I had said. You know, it's okay, but I never knew that was the case, because I remember, and the world was different then. And I don't think the players work hard enough at practice. And you work these guys hard for, you know, longer hours than you'd be permitted to do today. And I said, you know what? The team's doing well now, but as soon as they stop doing well, they're going to bail on him. He's working him too hard. And I thought that's why you got mad at me, because I questioned the way you worked your players at practice. And it's different now. I mean, it is different. And I remember we actually worked together when Channel 3, and I was there, had the preseason games, and you were a little hesitant to work with me for the pregame show. And then we got to know each other, and things got better. But, yeah, I just – Dick, just look at it this way. You weren't the only head coach or manager to be pissed off at me. Charlie Manuel wanted to drop me. He said, man, I want to drop you. So you're not the only one, Dick, but you never threatened to hit me.
No, God. No, not at all. But, you know, what I respect about you, Howard, is your openness and your knowledge and your ability to get information that you would like you as a coach would not like a radio person to have. And I also, geez, that guy's got somebody inside behind these doors just feeding them stuff that pisses me off. You know? But anyway, you know, your due diligence in what you do is remarkable.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a story. It's before you got there. I don't know who the coach was. It could have been Mike McCormick. Did you follow Mike McCormick, Dick? Is that who you followed with the Eagles?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Guy named Bill Johnson, who was a defensive lineman, comes walking. We're waiting for Randall Cunningham. We're waiting in the locker room. Bill Johnson walks by, and the Eagles were 0-5 to start the season. Bill Johnson says, what do you think of this team? Says, do you really want to know? And I was never afraid. I don't know why. I could have been stupid. I could have gotten dropped. He says, what do you think of this team? I think you guys suck. Absolutely suck. I said, I can't remember a team this bad. I think Jerry Williams was a coach in the early 70s. And I think Eddie Kayat followed him. I says, that team was bad, but you guys are worse. And then there was a guy named Jeff Graham, a wide receiver, was two lockers away. And he got him from San Diego, and he couldn't play either. And I said that, and I said to Bill, I says, you see that guy over there, Jeff Graham? I have as many catches as him. Zero. And Jeff Graham, his eyes popped open. I said, come in, am I not telling the truth? I don't know why I was like that. But you can't be afraid. If you're scared, get a dog. You can't be afraid. You just got to express yourself. And if I'm wrong, you'll tell me. Mitch Williams threatened to punch me in the mouth. Charlie Manuel wanted to drop me. That's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Now we're all friends. But, Dick, before I go, and I know it was a long time, and it was a long wait, and we all hope that people recognize the hard work and what we've done in our career. And your hard work will, I can't see any way you're not going to be voted into the Hall of Fame next year. And you have to wait to the Super Bowl. I'll be out in this Super Bowl. I'll be out there because hopefully it'll be different. I've been to 40 Super Bowls, and I've been to all yours, and I've been to that one where it ended on the 1 yard line. So I remember that when you won it with St. Louis right. and Kurt Warner. But was it hard waiting to finally get the call that you were on the ballot with a good chance to get into the Hall of Fame?
Howard, it was not hard at all, because my expectations were never that I was going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I never really thought that way. And I really started thinking that I had a real good chance 2 years ago, because too many people told me that, I know they're in the media world, you know, your name came up in a lot of discussions this past year. And then Carl Peterson took it upon himself to stimulate the voters this past year and a half with Sal Palantonio and, of course, your own Inquirer writer, you know, Paul Domowitz. And I think that created more interest in that. But, you know, my support staff, my three owners, have all passed away. So I didn't have those people. And I just never put myself in the category of those other head coaches that are already in the Hall of Fame. I've worked with three, Sid Gilman, George Allen, you know, Bill Walsh. And I know, and I never really said, you know, Dick DeMille, you're as good as they are, you know, or maybe have some of their strengths. And I've started thinking, well, if I deserve it, I'll get in. if I don't deserve it, I won't get in. And that was my whole attitude. And I was prepared because I knew I was really in the hunt this year. I was prepared for the phone calls to be, you know, Dick, maybe in a year or two you're going to get in. And when he called, Dave Baker called, we're walking through the walkway there at the airport in San Francisco, and he said, Dick, Coach Mill, Dave Baker calling, and I'm not calling to buy a case of wine. I'm calling to let you know you've been selected as the senior member coach for the Hall of Fame. And it startled me. It really startled me, and I was very close to the wall. So I sort of backed up and leaned my shoulders up against the wall, and I said, Carol, I've just been told, okay, I've been going to Hall of Fame. And she said, you deserve it.
Yeah, Carol, she's great. You know, Carol didn't like me either.
You know, we have 3 kids and 65 years of marriage and 11 grandkids, and we have never discussed NFL Hall of Fame with Dick Vermeil. Never.
Wow, that's amazing. Oh, and by the way, your first NFL owner as a head coach was Leonard Tose, and he got over it. You know, I had the story that he was going to be forced to sell the Eagles because of his gambling debts in Atlantic City, and that was not an easy time for me because he was a well-loved guy. And then Norman Braman, he didn't like me because I reported he didn't pay any city wage tax, and the city banged him for $1.2 million. And you know, it's funny. His nephew was one of my best friends growing up, so we were cool until I started doing my job. This moment right now is to congratulate you too.
Thank you. You
will be in there, and it'll be great. And I appreciate you getting up early to come on and share some of your thoughts with me, Dick. I can't think of ripping you anymore because you know I've gotten it all out.
Something.
You know, hey, listen, you go coach again. I'll rip your ass again. Okay. All right, hey Dick.
You're an original piece of work. I'll tell you.
All right, Dick. Hey, thanks.
Take care.
Coach Vermeil. Yeah, thanks. All right, thanks, Dick. And Vermeil will be on with Dick. Will be on with Glenn Macnow and Ray Dittinger this morning at 11 a.m. All right, let me take a break. I want to get to your callers, but a part of my past, and we'll see, maybe we'll have Charles Barkley if he gets his ass up. He's in Alabama. But anyway, I want to listen. I want to hear from you, the callers, on my Saturday show, but it's the 35th anniversary of a great moment for me and I think for WIP, the first sports talk show on August 29th, 1986, and that was my first sports talk show. I did the first one on FM, too, September 2nd, 2011. So that's part of it. It can never go away, but we all are a part of it at WIP. All right, we'll get back to the calls, and I see people on the phone. 215-592-9494. WIP Sports Time. Here at the Borgata, 837. WIP here at the Borgata. The cake looks great. The Borgata looks great. 35th anniversary. Well, you know, I have prescription sunglasses. And they don't work when you look at a computer screen. Actually, they almost block it out. All right, let's go to the phones. Enzo, you're on WIP. Oh, hold on.
How are you, Howard?
Good, how are you?
I was expecting a different answer. I was expecting never had a bad day in my life.
You know what? I was trying to straighten out. It's the first time I've operated a computer call screen. because, you know, during the pandemic, remember, it's been a year and a half since basically we've done remotes. So I was having trouble with the screen, but I never have had a bad day in my life. Bad moments, not bad days. What's happening?
I was telling my buddies, man, when I heard about the 35 years, I couldn't believe it. I grew up watching you on Channel 29, listening on 610, and we were talking, and you're literally the best fighter mentally and verbally that we know. because you can do it with such class and not disrespect others. Like, it's just awesome, man.
Now, there's some players and some coaches and managers that would disagree that they think I've gone over the top. You know what? Today I learned something, too. When I heard Dick Vermeil, I never knew that I criticized Billy Cunningham. Now, I'm sure I did, but that's why he was mad. He buried me at a Maxwell Club luncheon in front of all those people. Buried me.
Wow.
So, but I never knew that. I thought it was because of my opinions about things that he did. But that's all right. It's just I learned early in my career, and I did talk radio before I came to WIP. That's why they asked me to do it, to start the ball rolling. That you have to be honest, not only with yourself, but if you have an opinion, I try to learn about things. I try to formulate opinions based on, you know, the information that I get from different people, from whether it's from the teams that are involved. And that's just what I try to do. And I've always tried to do that. And I was never afraid of just trying to be myself. So is there a
that's
memory?
That's why we love you.
Yeah, is there a memory?
That's why we love you.
Yeah, is there a memory that you have of something that I've done in the past years?
Honestly, brother, there isn't right now because I dropped my son off at the wrong hockey rink, and I'm going back to the hockey rink. I left him to go to Whole Foods, going back to the hockey
Wait
rink
a minute.
To get him.
Wait a minute. How did you drop your son off at the wrong hockey rink?
I am so glad you asked. I am in Jersey, a horrible city, horrible town. I can't stand the state to begin with.
That's a state, by the way. Jersey's a state.
No, but the city I'm in this city is ridiculous. I've been to many cities in Jersey, but this one's weird. They got two hockey rinks. One's called Hollydell North. The other one's called Hollydell. So I type in Hollydell on my GPS, not knowing there's two rinks a quarter mile from each other, and drop him off at the wrong one. So well, you can give me a classic term for that if you want.
Well, you're a dope. hey, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, I appreciate the call, and thanks for being part of the 35 years. When he probably listened really early. Is this George? Oh, no. Oh, no. The monster. It's my son. You know, I didn't name you Spike, but I'll call you Spike out of respect.
Here we go.
Can you see a kid at birth? And on the birth certificate, it says Spike.
Hold on. Yeah. So I tuned in 8 o'clock to this show to hear, I'm going to hear Dad celebrate the 35th anniversary of the show, yada, yada. And like, in the first 10 minutes, you're just taking shots at me three different times. I'm a monster. I'm lying about WFAN being New York being number one, and I just turned it off. I figured I'd call you later. I want to be nice and congratulate you, and hey, you're ripping.
Yeah, but I got to – hey, listen, you still technically work for this station. So that's okay, and because I work here, I'm always going to think that WIP is better than WFAN. So,
right, of course.
You know, and that's just – you know, I've worked in New York early in my career – with a guy named George Michael, and we didn't spin records. They were on tape back then at WABC. But, you know, but Philadelphia is, you know, obviously being part of the family, it's just in my soul. So I'm going to defend WIP as being the best.
I didn't even say anything that offensive that one time. I just said that New York's like the biggest city in the country. That's all I was saying. I love WIP. You know, I love
okay.
it. You know, look, just because I had the opportunity to be in Chicago and New York, both bigger markets than Philly, you don't have to be jealous of me. You have a great thing going too. I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm happy that you're off scholarship. You were on scholarship so long for me. You know, I'm going to put a pen to paper and figure out, and I actually better use a pencil because then I'm going to have to...
You said you weren't going to bring this stuff up anymore.
That's all right.
You said you weren't going to bring this
well,
stuff
yeah,
up.
Well, yeah, I took the college, the private school education, the college education, your wedding, I took it all off the books. I took it all off the books. So.
But here it is, on the books again.
No, it's not on the books. No, you're doing well. I'm happy. You're not the only one that was on scholarship. And your sister... is the last one. She had the garage came down in her car. So she's got to get it taken care of, and that's all right. Whatever the deductible is, I'll take care of that. So she's still on a little bit of scholarship because she doesn't make as much money as all you other guys, you know, all the five kids. And, you know, I'm happy for you. And it's just you work with some guys I know up there. Your boss is really, really a great guy, and I've known him for years. And Boomer, did you know how I first met Boomer? Do you know what happened the first time I met him?
Yes, I heard that story, but you can tell it as
right.
well.
Well, Dave Remington was his roommate when he was with the Bengals. And by the way, I was at Boomer's only Super Bowl. He lost when Joe Montana marched the 49ers down the field. That was his only shot.
You don't have to take shots at Boomer now.
That's all right. I love
Boomer.
I love Boomer. Boomer's a great guy. We've talked many times. So Remington was at a remote at the Ribbit, and some guy jumped me. And Remington had the guy around his throat. I saw white foam coming out of the guy's mouth. He was choking him so hard, and I grabbed his wrist. So anyway, so I ripped Boomer on the air when he was with the Jets. And at the end of the game, I'm on the field, and he sees me. And I had never met him before, but he knew who I was. He said, man, how could you rip me? My roommate saved your life. Saved your life, and you're ripping me. He says, hey, it's just part of what I do. And so, but Boomer and
his roommate did save your life. That guy probably would have taken you down.
Oh, yeah, and Remington was a big boy. He was big. So, yeah, so you work with some cool guys, but that's all right. But I'm still trying to find, you know, there's some stuff that you guys have still left in the house, and I'm still trying to find that Yankee starter jacket that you left. I can't find it.
I have been a Yankee fan my entire life, since I was from Don Mattingly to Kevin Moss, and then to Jeter, obviously my hero, and now to this amazing story of Major League Baseball, 13 in a row, the reemergence of Giancarlo Stanton. You wish you could have a lineup with Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and Gallo like this. I've always been a Yankee.
Well, I'll have to tell you, and you know this, Aaron Boone, we've become friends because I knew him when he was 7 years old, and we stayed in touch because he's always been an Eagles fan. By the way, in his office, he has a helmet signed by Foles and Wentz, an Eagles helmet signed, but he sent me a picture of it. I don't know if it's still there.
You think he can get the Wentz signature wiped off of that so it's worth more?
I don't think he's going to have to worry about the worth of it, but I love him. As a manager, I think he's very good. I loved his rant. You know, when we have bleeping savages in there, Aaron is just a passionate guy, and I'm glad to see the Yankees are doing well. I really am, and I root for him. So you can be a Yankee fan, but I'm still trying to find that starter Yankee jacket.
All right. Okay.
But I appreciate you calling, and I've told
congratulations to 35 years. I'm sure 35 years from now, we'll be doing the 70th anniversary of the first show. I can't imagine you're going to stop.
And Merle will still be doing play-by-play for the Eagles.
Sure will. Yep.
But I will say this, and this is the only time I'm ever going to compliment you on the air because I did create a monster, you've done it all by yourself. The only thing I ever did for you is got you an internship. And that has nothing to do with where you are today. And I may have gotten a little more money from our president now, who was your general manager when you came to YSP.
Like 15 years ago? I do remember that.
Yeah. I told him, come on, David, you're losing a $300,000 contract. You can't give this guy $20,000 more. I mean, it's a joke.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Now I'm ripping David, too. But I can't rip him because he actually gave you the money. But you've done it all on your own. I will say that. You've done it on your own. So good
Thank
luck.
You.
Good luck up at the second best sports talk station in America, WFAN.
Thank you. Congratulations. And if you ever want a tour of WFAN, let me know a couple weeks in advance, and I'll see if I can squeeze you in.
Well, I actually was up there when the Phillies lost to the Yankees in 2009, and that was the first time Ike Reese ever rode a subway. We took the subway.
That's not surprising. Yeah.
We took the subway to Yankee. He'll tell you the story, subway to Yankee Stadium. But I appreciate the call. And
of course.
Yeah, 35 more years from the monster. All right.
Yeah, all right. See ya.
See you later. Bye-bye. Right. I called him a monster on put that call on hold there, will you, Kyle? put Ron on hold. Well, I might as well go to Ron. Ron, you're on WIP.
I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
Morning, Howard.
How are you?
I'm all right, buddy. Howard, I've been following you since you first came on TV, and I believe, you know, all those years, the two people that I think actually molded the Philadelphia fan, how do you say it? You know, we're known across the country as being a tough fans, hard on people and hard on our athletes. I think you guys actually molded that in Philadelphia in my lifetime, you know, how we're tough on our athletes and our teams. You and Angelo had a big part in that, I believe. And, you know, I have followed you since you were on TV, and I tell you, man, you know, I didn't call you the first 15, 20 years.
Why not?
Maybe 15 years. You know, because I tell you, you were prickly, man. People, you're a pussycat now. I mean, people have no idea how rough you really were back in the day. I mean, you were honest, but you were, you know what, Howard, I gotta say, it's good, you know, and don't get a big head. But 9 times out of 10, you've been right over the years. There's not too many times that you've been wrong. You know, even look at the Sixers. This has been going on for 8-9 years now, and you were right in the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't kill my son over that stupid process that they thought was great. That process was a joke. Scam Hinkie was a fraud. And Ben Simmons is a bigger fraud. And a generational player. He sucks.
We all see this now. But yeah. The thing is, I'm glad you...
I'm a visionary. You know, I'm a visionary, damn it. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I think while we're on the Sixers, Howard, I think they signed their own death warrant when I heard they gave them that Embiid contract.
That's the worst contract in the history of sport in Philadelphia sports. The worst, because he won't last 6 years.
I think
years.
They finished themselves off, Howard. I really do. I mean, they let this thing get out of control, and they signed this contract out of fear of possibly losing our superstar because of a so-called superstar. And, I mean, it just snowballs in Philadelphia. I mean, I just watch things that go on in sports today, Howard, and really for the last 20 years. It's just like they make it impossible. They make things so hard, so difficult. They do things the wrong way for the wrong reasons most of the time, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to stay a sports fan, but, you know, it's in my blood. What am I going to do? I played sports all my life. You know, I had some opportunities in sports. Sports created opportunities in my life. I love sports, you know. And so you're born with it. You know how many times I wanted to walk away from the Eagles and the Phillies, but I just can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Hey,
I can't do it. I want to walk away so bad. You know, why? How can a sports team ruin my day? How can I let that happen? But it happens.
Well, watch the Phillies, and it won't be hard to ruin your day. They won last night, but that was a joke.
Here's the thing with the Phillies. Listen, man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel for this franchise.
Yeah, there is. There is. Now, it's a freight train coming. It's a freight train coming right at them in that tunnel. Kaboom!
I mean, they're cooked, and I honestly believe, and I love my Phillies. I love my team as bad as they are. But I'm telling you, Howard, there's only one way to fix this, and that's everybody's got to stay away from that building, and you got to force ownership out, and you got to get a new ownership in here, that's the only way this is going to fix. And can you answer this question for me?
All right, and then I got to go. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. What did Dombrowski do in the front office? I heard he shook up the front office.
Yeah, he got rid of some people that I don't think they were people that were big on analytics. I think that was a big part of it, and that's a joke too. But
analytics.
No. Yeah, he's kind of bought into it a little bit more than I thought he would.
Well, that's just great.
Yeah, right. They got 18,000 analytics people working for them. I'm being sarcastic, but they have too many of them. But anyway, hey, I appreciate the call, and you have a great day. All right. I see the second felon to be on this show, convicted felon. And I'll tell him the story because he may not have heard us earlier. And if Barkley's up, we'll get Charles. I've never hung up on him, but I might hang up on him if he's. But he's doing some good things trying to get people vaccinated in Alabama. All right, 2155. I got a lot of callers. You got the numbers, 215-592-9494. We'll get right back. I could do 20 hours today because the people. You know what's really incredible? Yeah, and I'll tell you about it on the other side. It has to do with social media, and it's incredible. WIP Sports Radio, 94 WIP, 35th anniversary. You know what? When you think back, I don't really think it's been that long because things have gone so well. I've had a lot of fun, good and bad. But I'll tell you about social media. Social media, Twitter is really the toilet of the internet. That's what it is. There's a lot of haters. But I've got to say this, and I've got to compliment people. Not that people have to kiss my rear end and be nice and all that. I posted pictures all week of people, guests, and people that I've met, and Bradley Cooper introducing himself to me because he used to listen to me on the air. I mean, it was crazy stuff. Will Smith the same way. It's just so many things. Like, Taylor Swift's, and I'm going to post that picture later, father was a big fan of mine. So I know him well. And when Taylor Swift was in town, he had me meet her with my daughter. She wear my Super Bowl ring. You don't rip me for because I got a Super Bowl ring. All broadcast teams get a Super Bowl ring when they win a championship. She wore the suit, and we took a picture. And there's just so many different people and so many different things. And Ted Williams and Steve Carlton on a show at a remote. Two of the top three players at their positions in the game of baseball. And they never met each other before that show in 1992. So there's so many good things. But the thing I want to say about the internet or the social media, 99% of the people have been absolutely phenomenal and had so many nice things to say and stories and congratulations. But when they started listening, what they remember, it's really been nice, and I'm kind of, social media can be a nice place. Rare, but it can be a nice place. All right. He is the second, and I clarified that earlier, convicted felon that has been on this radio show. Yes. Convicted twice. Twice convicted as a felon, and that would be Arthur. Hey, dope, how are you?
Yo, congratulations. I can't believe you made it 35 years on the radio.
How about that? How about that?
That's amazing.
It is, isn't it? It's unbelievable. By the way, you know who my first convicted felon on my show was?
Charles Barkley.
No, Joey Merlino.
When was that?
I had to go down and check out a story which was incorrect on WIP, so I went to a coffee shop he had, which was bogus. I said, I'm waiting for Joey to come. He's not here now. Well, is he going to be here? Some guy peels off, and all of a sudden a guy comes back. Yeah, he'll be here in 15 minutes. You want anything? I said, yeah, I want a cup of cappuccino. It's a coffee shop. It's a bogus place. You know, it was a front. I said, I want a cup
sure
of cappuccino.
You sure it was the front where he sold the cigars on the avenue?
Stop. Well, let me finish the story, you nitwit.
Sorry.
So I said, can I get a cup of cappuccino? And the guy says, the cappuccino machine doesn't work. I said, this is a coffee shop. Your cappuccino machine doesn't work? What the hell are you guys doing here? So, and he came, and then he rolled in with like 15 guys, two feds sitting out front. But I asked him, we talked about the story on the air, and then I asked him if he'd come on the air with me. Sure enough. So he was the first convicted felon on the air. It was cool.
And I come in number two.
Yeah, you're never number one. Just remember
correct.
That.
I know that. What are you going to do? You got to finish somewhere in life, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know what? It's good to have you on my 35th anniversary show. You are a full-fledged dope, and I can say that with all the passion of being a dope. But nonetheless, you're misguided. You can't stay out of trouble. You go to jail, and then you stay longer because you get in a fight with somebody. You know, you get a boyfriend, and then you break up with the guy. You know, what the heck? Just because you leave the joint, you can't break up with your boyfriend.
Relationships end, I guess, after you get out, brother. You got to get locked up again if you want that relationship to continue.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. And your Yankees, I'm actually rooting for your Yankees. So remember that. I'm rooting for them because Aaron Boone is a friend, and he's been a good manager, struggled early. Those guys are on a tear. My gosh,
they're on a tear. And that is a fact. And listen to me, it ain't over yet, brother. It ain't over. They're taking on the A's and putting them down. And you wait a minute. I got a word on the street that your kid's a Yankees fan.
Yeah, that's what he says. You know what? I'm not going to expose him. You know, he said he had all these starter Yankee jackets and hats. You know, usually some of the stuff I find when I find some of their stuff in the house somewhere, I can't find one thing with an NY on it. I guess he took it all. But if he was a Yankees fan, he was a closet Yankees fan. So because I don't remember it. And I was friends with the owner of Starter, so I could get anything. I got a Mets stuff. And, you know, I knew a lot of the guys on the Mets and still to this day friends with a lot of players from that 86 team. So, but I knew him, but I can't remember. So I got a Mets stuff, but I don't remember getting him Yankee stuff. But whatever.
He was in the closet.
He must have been. He must have been.
Now let's get into that. Remember that big, you know, I got a history with you, but my favorite time was when we had that big fight. Remember that?
We had the what?
When we had that fight on the radio.
What was the fight about?
I forget. But I mean, it was just a great thing. We were going back and forth. I think at the end you were so twisted, you had to take a nap. You didn't know what way the end was up.
Well, you know what? You know what moment I liked? When you and Levi had a sing-off of Christmas carols. Levi passed away. May he rest in peace. I can't believe you lasted longer than he did. But you had a sing-off of Christmas carols, and it broke my heart, but I had to name you the winner. You both sucked.
You did win something. I came in first place.
But that's all right. You'll win 6 more months in jail somewhere along the way. Because you're doing good.
I even left the casino early to get this call in because I didn't want to think this moment.
Why, and I got to ask you this. I don't think I've asked you before. Why do you like being a career criminal?
Well, my dad told me if you got to do something, be good at just one thing in life. Guess he shouldn't have told me that.
So you're good at being a criminal?
Correct. Somebody's got to keep OC in business.
You are dope. Hey, man, I appreciate the call. I appreciate you being a part of it. I got a lot of callers here. I want to get to them. But the popo will get him soon. He'll be back in the joint soon. But he finds a way to get a phone in jail, so he tries to stay in touch. George, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning and congratulations.
Thanks. You know, it's been nice. There's been a lot of people that have stopped by and passed through and wish me congratulations. I'm getting a lot of text messages. I'll get to them later. But the people stopping by here, including our esteemed president of the Philadelphia radio stations for Odyssey, and our, I don't know if I don't know what his title is. He's some kind of manager. Handles sales. Rob Kalustian, David Yagaroff, who's our president, stopped by. So, and then there's a lot of people that stopped by. It's really nice. You know, we're trying to get back into some kind of normalcy, which is really tough. Hopefully, I don't want to get political, and it seems like vaccinations become politicized. I hope people get the vaccinations. I hope people stay healthy and they stay safe. And we'll move on from that. But, George, I know you had something to say. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that I followed you for a long time. I've been to remotes. I actually even went to... And adopted a dog a year or so ago after all those dogs came in with the help of everything you did. And I just think that, you know, listening to you and for you to get mad at people and people to get mad at you is just an honest thing. And I think that that's what made you stand out as a sports talk host. And it's been, you know, it's been echoed before, but I just wanted to say that. And unfortunately, I had told Kyle when I called in that I had an Arthur story, and here Arthur was just on the phone in front of me.
But what's
it was the memory that I had. It goes back to the same year the Phillies won in 2008, and he sort of referenced it, but he had made an appearance on another radio talk show, and then you talked to him the same day, and you jumped all over him, and he just tried to back his way out of it and couldn't really understand, and you were saying you can't talk to two different sports radio shows the same day.
Oh, yeah, and I banned him. I banned his ass.
You banned, exactly, and you said, you know, do we agree? Do I get through to you? And he kept, you know, dancing around.
Yeah.
And you just said, we're done if you don't. It was just a hysterical. It went on for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. It was pretty funny.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being a listener. And I don't know if I can call you a fan, but a listener, fan.
Now, listen, I watched the Eagles last night, and I watched the Phillies replay past midnight, so when it came on.
How can you? I mean, the Phillies, they blow another lead in the ninth inning. They got no. The closer's just average. The team's average. That's what they are.
They are, exactly, and they're not going to go anywhere. And you're right. The only thing they're staring at is that freight train coming, because it's going to end bad. But I hope that I can call you on your 40th, because I heard you say you're not in the.
I'm not done yet.
You're not done yet.
I'm not done. You know what? I started out and using the Field of Dreams line, build it, they will come. And after I started it, everybody kind of kept the ball rolling, and I was happy to be a part of it for so long and still a part of it. Afternoon Drive for 25 years and just wanted to make a change.
I remember you and Ron Jaworski standing up on a tee at the senior tournament. I think it was at White Manor, and you had on your knicker, your plus fours.
Well, I just, hey, listen, I do what I do. But, George, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. All right, let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, when are you going to write your book, man?
I don't know. I've got a guy that wants to be the writer with me, so I'm keeping notes.
I got four possible titles. You could call it Chief. You could call it Idiot, Dopes, and Morons. You could call it It's Not Social and It's Not Media, or you can call it Never Had a Bad Day in My Life with a Picture of You and Your Fur Coat.
Yep, the fur coat, the Eagles game was the first time it was 10 degrees that day. That was kind of, can you imagine, here's a, you know, like, I'll call myself a short white guy, although 5'9 is not short, but whatever. I'm on a billboard with Javon Kearse wearing a mink coat. Now, who would have thought in their wildest dreams, some white guy wearing a fur coat with a guy that's like 6'5", you know, and we were kidding around. He unbuttoned his shirt, you know, because that's, well, actually, he didn't have a shirt. He was without a shirt, wearing the mink coat. And then I just, as a joke, unbuttoned my shirt, and that's the picture they used for the billboard. Me with an unbuttoned shirt all the way down, wearing a mink coat. He's wearing a mink coat. Who would have thought some white guy, 5'9 white guy, is wearing a mink coat? Are you kidding me? It worked, too. It worked.
The first white guy I saw wear a mink coat was Broadway Joe Namath. And I grew up in Trenton. I believe he used to get his furs from a place called Kudra Furs in Trenton. I don't think they're still there anymore. But he was the first white guy I saw wear a mink coat. He was way outside the box, just like you've been way outside the box. That's why you've been successful.
Zinman was the company, and they've been sold since, but I think it's still Zinman Furs over in New Jersey. But
I bought my wife a coat there about 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Yeah,
hey, some players.
I
had
Wilson Boulevard.
I had a collection, the Eskin collection of fur coats, and some of the players went over there and bought some coats. Hey, listen, I'm big, man. Come on.
It was on Admiral Wilson Boulevard.
It's still there. Yeah, it's still there.
Well, good luck, King. And hey, you should do 10 more years, because our Eagles announcer is 80, right? And
78. Merle would be upset if you called him 80. 70. He'll be 78.
The living room guy is 85.
Is that right? Wow. It's an old lady.
He's 85.
He's got to change the furniture, though. You know, he hasn't changed the furniture in 85 years. All right, take care. See you later. He really does got to change the furniture. Let's go to James. What? Did I just hang up on somebody? If I did, I apologize. James, you're on WIP.
Yes, good morning, Howard. Happy anniversary. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, I first seen you at Convention Hall. There was a wrestling match there. I just remember there being a steel cage match, and it was kind of an alternative to the regular stuff at the Spectrum. And I just remember hearing your name, and some people were like, "Ah, gotta get rid of him." Other people were cheering, and I didn't know. I was new to this radio thing at the time, but now it's been a part for 35 years. And you're right there in the 90s.
Well. I was the ring announcer for a lumberjack match at the Spectrum. It was Hulk Hogan and Million Dollar Man Bill DiBiase. And somebody posted it, and I reposted the whole. They have the whole broadcast. And I come in at, like, it's somewhere on my Twitter, at like 1 hour and 44 minutes. And I was the ring announcer for the lumberjack match, and I didn't remember this. And all the wrestlers get around the rings because if somebody gets thrown out, you throw the guy back in. Yeah. And Andre the Giant was banned from the building. I said, Andre the Giant was banned from the building. It's just, and then at the end, and somebody said you can hear it if you watch the broadcast. I didn't know what to do at the end. So I get back in the ring and announce the winner. And Hulk Hogan says to me, and I have Hulk's number, and I've had him on the air. I got to get him on again. And Hulk says to me, he says, "Brother, you better get the bleep." And he didn't use the word bleep out of here. So I race out of the ring, and sure enough, chairs start flying, banging guys over the head. I might have been hit with a chair if I was in that ring. So that was another one of my memorable moments of my fond career. I caddied for Michael Jordan. Caddied for Charles Barkley. Barkley, he's actually a much better golfer now. I caddied for him, big part of my career. So, but there's been a lot of good things and a lot of great memories, and I can't say I'd forget any one of them. So it's all good. But
great.
Hey, by the way, Johnny, I don't know if, did you watch the Eagles game last night?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me what you got out of that Eagles game.
It looked like they definitely addressed attention to detail. They were sloppy with the Patriots. It looked like they didn't care. But last night, they definitely had more motivation, and they were hitting their assignments, trying to make something happen.
Yeah, well, Jalen Hurts, I think, and I've been on record, and everybody has, I think he needed more snaps. Dick Vermeil said, well, maybe I'm old school when I had Dick on earlier. Maybe I'm old school. Yeah, that is an old. I don't think that's old school. It's a new vogue where you don't play a guy as much. But when I think Andy Reid's the best coach in the NFL right now. But you can give me Bill Belichick. How is he without Tom Brady?
True.
Okay.
And
so,
like we said, you can't prepare for what goes into playing football unless you're actually playing football. Going
that's
out
correct.
There and doing it, you just
that's
got to
correct.
Purge yourself. Yeah. So hot. What else is there to do out there, right?
I know. So, but hey, I appreciate you being a part of WIP and this program, and have a great day. Thanks.
Okay.
You know what? Normally I give away a $100 gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers, but I really wanted to just make this a celebration. And you can celebrate with the Bruno Brothers and check them out at thebruno.com. Next week I'll give away two of them. Because I won't give it away this week. Memories, I wanted to talk about the Eagles, but there's so many things to talk about. And, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. I'm happy that you're a part of it. I'm happy that Bill Matz broke down to come out and be here to kind of put this remote together. Because like everybody else, nobody has the same amount of people as they had before. And sometimes it's harder to find people to work. So it's a good thing. But I want to thank him. Kyle's been helping me out back at the studio all the time. I want to thank the people that come out here. But we got more to go. I'll get back to the calls and talk to you. Because you are the fiber of the best sports talk station in the United States of America. And that monster I created, my son, he can talk about New York and WFAN all he wants. We are the best, even though we got some guys that say some moronic things on the air. We are the best. WIP Sports Time is now 922. Wow. Another fella just dropped by. Drove down from Philadelphia just to say hello. Alex, been a fan for a while. He probably looked like he was, what, in his mid-30s, maybe? Mid-30s. Good guy. A lot of people stopping down. A lot of people saying hello. He's got a picture of me in a fur coat. All right. I have another guest who has been part of my career, and that would be the greatest third baseman of all time. And you can talk about all these other guys, and that would be Mike Schmidt. Schmitty, how are you?
Hey, genius.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm making it 35 years. You know, I'd have never dreamed that was going to be the case way back in the day. You know, I remember, 1974, you got me on the All-Star team in that game in Pittsburgh, and we've been friends ever since.
You know what? That was interesting. I was spinning records to tell the people that, and you were not on the ballot.
That's right.
And so it had to be a write-in. So I got the radio station, it was WFAL Radio, to run promotions on the air. I used to sit there while I was spinning records, punching out those ballots and writing in your name. And you made the All-Star team, and it was well-deserved. I mean, now, guys, it's just a popularity contest. You really, that was kind of a breakout year for you. That was really good.
Yes, it was. And you're not supposed to tell people you did that illegally.
Well, no, it's not illegal because they encourage that now. People go on computers. You can vote 25 times, and everybody knows the cook whatever cookies is on a computer. You reset the cookies, and then you start and do it all over again. How do you think it's last man in? You know, the Philly, everybody promotes it, but you deserve it. A lot of these guys don't. But, you know, part of my career, and I'll say this to you, it was fun back in the day, and I know things changed, and we sound like old guys and all that, and I was talking to Barkley about it the other day. We were playing golf, and I says, you know, it's so much different now. Back then, you could fight with a guy, and then 30 seconds later, you're laughing with him. You know, Bo would go off in the clubhouse, and then 30 seconds later, we'd be laughing. And it's just not the same. We didn't have to. It wasn't always business. It was, you know, you got to know people. And that's kind of the thing. Bryce Harper's been kind of like that with me. But with the pandemic, you can't get in the locker room. I saw him the other day, and we just touched base. And, you know, I wish I get to know him more, but he seems like a nice guy. To me, he's been a great guy. But nonetheless, your era and your players were so good. And it was so much fun covering you. And I really thought it was an honor to do interviews with you and to talk to you. And I'm telling you, it's just part of it's a big part of my career. It really was a big part. What's that?
You have to realize that in today's world, the world of sports, that the kids, the young men that compete nowadays in every sport, they kind of live in a bubble. You know, they have people around them protecting them. They have a way of putting the earphones on and staring at the iPhone, and you know, their peripheral vision is very, very small nowadays. You know, they look for ways to avoid contact with people in general. Their social I don't know what you call them, social graces really don't get developed as much as we did back then because we didn't have social media. If you saw a guy walk by you, you said hello, and before you know it, there's a conversation strikes up, and you end up becoming friends, or you know, you end up chatting about things. And nowadays, that kind of a situation has occurred so much less than it did back when we played ball.
You know what, and people, and you stated it, you didn't have the personality, and your dad You're just like your dad, quiet. You didn't have the personality to be in Philadelphia, but I saw a moment, because I know when you play golf and you're having fun, unless you're playing in a tournament and you're grinding it out. But I'll never forget when we were in Scotland, and I still to this day remember this shot. You were on it. We were at Turnberry. You were on the side of a, basically on the side of a cliff, 195 away from the hole. I'm telling you, you probably don't even remember this. And it was wet and dreary. You hit it, and you couldn't have been more than 15 feet from the pin. And you're excited, and you're really. But you probably did. You probably did, because you changed your putting stroke every 3 days. You changed your stance. You adjusted in baseball very well, but in golf you got to stay consistent. But nonetheless, and I saw the excitement. This was 1989. I guess it was right after you retired when we went to Scotland. I've seen both sides of you, so I know you are an excitable guy. And, you know, when you played baseball, you just played. And you played hard. And it was a pleasure to know you as much as watch you play the game. I remember a home run against when Dwight Gooden was throwing nothing but heat. And you hit it late in the game. You hit a home run off him. And you didn't do many of those off of Dwight Gooden when he was really, really good. So I saw so many things from you guys. And, you know, it's just fun. You know, all those memories are just fun. But I can't remember. Did I ever rip you? Did I rip you? I don't know if I ripped you.
most likely at some point.
It's just, and I can't let you go. And again, people are going to say we're the old men yelling on the lawn. And I know you've kind of been bamboozled into buying into this analytics nonsense. Analytics is a guide. It shouldn't be your end all be all. And I want to see guys, it's like Dallas Green. And obviously we both know Dallas well. The eye test, he would always say, I could see a guy play, I find out if he has heart, and nowadays you can't find that on a computer. And that's just, you know, I know things change and things evolve, but sometimes you probably watch moves when you're up there in the broadcast booth and say, what is Joe Girardi doing now? And you might say it to yourself, but you don't say it on the air. Right? Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the way you say something means everything. You can say, well, you know, Joe has a couple of options here. Joe chose to do this. Either one could be the right one. I would have gone in the other direction. You know, you can never just say, I can't believe Joe Girardi did that. You know, there's the two different ways to say the same thing. And you must choose the road that is more respectful to the people down in the dugout, and I try to do my best at that whenever I'm broadcasting a game, and I know that Tom McCarthy's the same way. I know all the guys that work in the Phillies broadcast on the Phillies broadcast team are that way.
Except Larry Anderson.
How about Ricky Vitalico?
Oh yeah, Ricky. Well, he goes off too. But Larry just and you could tell by him not saying anything. Oh my God, what are they doing now? Are you kidding me?
Well, Howard, you got, you know, you must realize that you have your people, and you are a little bit strong on some people, and you know. How do I say this? That's why you're so good at what you do is fans of Philadelphia sports, they love to hear the way King feels about it. You know, the way the King feels about something, because they've got so much respect for your, truthful, representation of things. And I think that's one of the reasons why they love you here in Philadelphia, because you do call them as you see them. And I think that's the truth is what people want here in Philadelphia.
You know, Mike, I think people got to see when you hit your 500th home run, which nowadays, I mean, balls fly out of the ballpark like it's not. Guys hit balls 470 feet like it's nothing. But when you pumped your arms, and obviously there was a lot of pressure, And the fact, what was great about that is you won the game for the Phillies with that home run, and the excitement and probably the relief of getting it out of the way. You know, people will always remember that. It's amazing. Once you retire, people realize how good you were, and they stop complaining when they separate themselves. Well, he didn't dive. He didn't show enough emotion. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding? I mean, it's a joke. You know, just judge the player for what he does. And if he doesn't do it well enough, then you can criticize him. So, and I'm sure you felt a lot of pressure like that, too.
I understand the difference in me now as a 71-year-old man, and how I look back at Philadelphia sports fans and the difference in my perception of them now. I understand it now. I feel it. I feel the passion. I feel the great knowledge that they have about the games they're watching. Back when I played, it was more of I'm a guy on the field, and it sounded like, you know, every person in the stands was disrespecting me as a player when they booed, and really it was a very small percentage of people in the stands that were booing. But I was when I played, I was very sensitive. I was what's the word I'm looking for? I didn't.
You didn't handle it well.
I took it way too personally. I did not handle it well. I was insecure as a young man. I worked so hard behind the scenes, and there's no way people in the stands can know what you're doing behind the scenes. And they react to what they see on the field, which is their prerogative. And their way of showing disappointment was, you know, is in Philadelphia is the boo. And that doesn't mean they don't like you. That doesn't mean they wouldn't want to shake your hand, or they wouldn't, you know what I mean, have dinner with you or anything like that. It just means that it was kind of a letdown, you know, at that moment on the field. And I understand that now, but I had a really tough time understanding it back when I was a player. And that's my fault. That's all on me all the way. And if I had it all to do over again, I would look in the stands more often. I would have a smile on my face more often. I would do a lot of things differently if I had it to do over again. And unfortunately, I don't. But I'm enjoying my time with the city of Philadelphia right now greatly, greatly.
You know what? I remember the wig, which was actually, I guess, from Larry Anderson. And did you say, I'm trying to remember what created that. You said, talked about the cats and the cat piss at the vet and all kinds of.
There it goes. No filter, Mike. And I think it was Stan Hockman, actually. And we were at a luncheon somewhere together, and we got in this little chat. We didn't say, "Hey, is this on the record or off the record?" You know, I didn't say either one of those things. And
right.
The subject of Veterans Stadium and how it was, what we had, how it smelled walking down to the dugout and stuff like that. I made a comment which disrespected a lot of people at the time, and I, again, like I said, no filter came out, and as it turned out, I needed to wear a costume out on the field.
Yeah, it was great, and and I'll never forget the day, and I was sad because you were such a great ball player, and Brooks Robinson said to me, he says he's the greatest third baseman I've ever seen, and you were, even though there's a lot of good athletic people out there now, and
it's crazy.
Arenado's good, but you know what, nobody did it all. I mean, at the beginning, you hit for average, you hit with power, you could run the bases, you were screwed out of your 30th. You would have been a 30-30 guy if Lozinski hadn't interfered with the catcher, because you were stealing third base. I didn't forget that either.
Nice memory. That's a nice memory.
Yeah,
not many people would remember that. It was the last day of the year against the Mets.
Yeah, you would have been a 30-30 guy. So, you know, all those things, it just, with all that, you were a great, great ball player. But, yeah, it just, whatever it was, there was just so many, I just remember so many things. And
yeah, but think back to back in those days in the 50s, the 60s, and into the 70s. Think of the guys that played the game back then with that kind of a personality on the field. It was more of let your game do the talk, and there wasn't a lot of look at me, a celebration on the field, disrespecting the pitchers, trying to entertain the fans. You think of a Joe DiMaggio, how he played the game, or Lou Gehrig, how he played the game, or Jackie Robinson, how he played the game. You know, the guys that came before me played a little, with a great deal more. It was passionate, but right. It wasn't look at me and look what I did. You know, it was, and I'm going to do it again. And so it's not the first time I did what I did. It's totally different now. I understand that. It's totally different now. But back then we wanted to emulate the guys that played before us. How about Hank Aaron? He never showed any disrespect for the opposition on the field.
What a great player. And I remember people didn't like you because you didn't dive. Well, you had such great range.
Are you kidding me?
But this is what they complained. Yeah,
when you dove, you didn't get dirty and playing on AstroTurf.
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing that you told me is when I dive, I hurt myself. Because people wanted you to be Craig Nettles because he had no range, so all he could do is dive. You had the range. You didn't have to dive, but people always had these.
The problem with diving is I couldn't get up.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, it was. It's you're one of my fondest memories in my career because it was to have the pleasure of covering you, obviously knowing you, then becoming friends. It's just, you know, people can say what they want, but you were terrific, terrific, great ball player, the best of all time. And I'll just never forget you going on the Hall of Fame. I was really sad the day you said, and you retired for the right reason. You couldn't do it the way you felt that you had to do it playing Major League Baseball. And I remember you telling me, I talked to you before you had your news conference, and so many different things that I will never, ever, ever forget. And it was a pleasure. I can honestly say you were a part of my career and one of the great parts of my career, and I really appreciate that.
The most important thing is our friendship, and that it continues. Till neither one of us are around. And congratulations on your 35 years. You brought a lot of joy and entertainment to the sports fans of Philadelphia. And you're the king, brother.
Thanks, Schmitty. Thanks, man. All right, thanks.
I'm sure I'll see you on Sunday.
Yes, I'll see you on Sunday. All right, take care.
Bro.
Mike Schmidt. He was really, and he was a quiet guy. There's so many different stories. There's so many different memories I've had of him. I'll take a break because I get kind of sentimental too. WIP Sports Time 945. WIP. All right, let's get right back to the phones. Chuck, I'm going to get you on, but just understand I don't have a lot of time because I've people calling up and it's just, but I wanted to get you on. How are you?
Hey, listen, King, this is your day, not mine. I just 30 seconds. I want to congratulate you on the 35 years, the mentorship with your kids. I've worked with you. I know how much you care about your kids, and your philanthropic work is impressive and sets a standard for others. I also want to say you're right more than you're wrong, as much as that pains me on this day. And you're such a nice guy when we're having dinner, and everybody says to me, why do you call the guy abuses you every week? But the challenge, I love it. And just congratulations. You're going to be right about JT, too. It looks like they never should have given him $25 million a year. So you're right more than you're wrong. And
5 years. And 5 years. And that, you know, that, here's that,
you know what, bud? Yeah.
I'm going to add this to this.
Yeah.
They, Marshawn is actually they were forced into bringing him up. He's going to call a better game. There is, and I've heard this from multiple people, a few of the Phillies pitchers do not like the way JT calls a game.
That's been out there for 3 years, and you look at the statistics.
Yeah, but, and here we never heard it.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it before. I've mentioned it before, but.
How about this? And 27% runners stolen bases. I mean, he went from 50 to 48. And the last 2 years, 27% caught stealing.
You know, physically, he can't hold up. He's going to be a DH and a first baseman. I know.
They got six first base candidates for next year. I'll leave it at that. Congratulations, bud. Keep the roll going, okay?
All right. Thanks, Chuck. Take care. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny, you're on WIP.
Howard, even though you mellowed, I'm on hold, and I feel like I'm facing the guillotine here.
Uh-oh. Well, you might.
Well, I called because you wanted to know what happened to me 13 years ago at Franklin Field. What happened to you? Where you been and all? I don't know how good your memory is.
What
the
happened?
Relays, the taping the Bill Cosby show.
Right.
For some reason, you were the anchor man on a 4x400 relay, and you came in like dead last, and not only that, like maybe 10 minutes later.
I'm not a runner. I'm a lover.
Well, whatever you are, I butchered you with the finish line. I just happened to be right at the finish line, me and my gal. And I laid it on you, Howard, and you looked up at me with a look at the stand like, please, not now. I mean, I'm so out of breath, and I got to roll across the finish line. And when I had called you back in when the Phillies won it in 08, you said, where you been? I thought you guy like you done. But no, here I am, and I'm just glad that I could be on your anniversary show to tell the story. You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks. Thanks for calling. Let's see if we can get a couple more in here. Bob, you're on WIP.
Hey, real quick, because I know we don't have a lot of time. One memory that I have, and I hate to bring this name up, and you always say, who's that? I think he's passed on, is you had some unbelievable debates and screaming matches, and I loved it. You made me laugh with a guy named Baseball George.
Yeah, what he was a dope. He was a dope and a moron.
Thing. But I'll say one thing. I think Baseball George knew more than Klintak.
You what? What did you just say?
I think Baseball George knew more about baseball than a guy like Clint.
Well, here's the difference. When you use a computer, you don't know baseball. You just know how to read a computer.
At least he saw the players. You got to give him that.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Yeah, I don't like where the game's going. And Joe Girardi uses too much of the computer. You know,
exactly.
And he's not consistent. I thought it was okay to leave Wheeler in. I thought it was okay to leave Nolan in. But he didn't do it. He changed what he did. It's just you got to be consistent. You have to have a feel. And if you're wrong with the feel, hey, listen, their bullpen is just average. And they might be better than last year, but it's just average. So with all that, it's sad because their farm system's so bad, it's going to take years. It's going to take years.
Could you ever get Klintak on to publicly apologize by calling you a dinosaur? Because he failed.
Oh, yeah, he did call me a dinosaur.
I got one last question for you. He will get a job somewhere. Why would anybody hire him?
Not as a general manager. He won't get a general manager's job.
Well, I mean, anywhere in baseball. Get out of the industry. What has he done, Howard?
I know. I agree with you. Hey, Bob, I got to run, but call me next week. All right. Let's go to who's that, Leon?
Hello.
Leon's in Dallas. What's happening, man?
Hey, how's it going, Howard? You know, it's always a blessing to talk to you. Congratulations on your 35th year. I just wanted to say, you know, I love talking to you. I'm glad to actually probably be the only Leon from Dallas that you know. So if we ever do, you know, meet in life, I should stick out to you. But, and I just want to say, you know, it's been great watching you on Instagram over the past, you know, few weeks and seeing, like, all your photos. I mean, dude, you've literally met, you know, like world-class people. I mean, it's just crazy. So I'm, you know, just want to say we love you, Howard, and, you know, just keep going on. Hopefully we get you for another 35.
You know what's going to happen today? I have I met Taylor Swift. I mentioned earlier, her father was a fan. They grew up in Reading. Her father was a big fan, and we stay in touch. And when she was in town, my daughter wanted to see her, and there's not many people in the meet and greet. He said, you go in, and, you know, she knew all about me. So, and she wore the Super Bowl ring, so I have a picture. I'm going to post that and get ripped for that. I really do enjoy Taylor Swift's music. You know, people want to rip me for that? Rip me. She's very, very, very talented. And And, you know, between Bradley Cooper walking up and introducing himself, Will Smith, so many people, Ted Williams and Steve Carlton at a remote show of mine, and that's the
Muhammad
first time
Ali.
They ever met, Muhammad Ali, Larry cool. Holmes, Mike Tyson, three heavyweight champs, but Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time, the greatest.
Yeah.
Caddying for Jordan wasn't even bad, because he was a nice guy back then. It was early in his career. It was like 1991. But, you know, different things and different people and celebrities and sports people. And it's been Gretzky. I got to know Wayne Gretzky back right before the Flyers played them in the Stanley Cup Finals in 1987. And still to this day. Actually, I have a picture. I don't know if I posted it. With my son, who was probably 5 or 6 years old, Gretzky and myself, after I did an interview with Gretzky in Atlantic City. My son had no idea who Wayne Gretzky was. None. Zero. He's sitting there. All he wanted to do was get out of there. I brought him to meet one of the greatest, if not the greatest, hockey player of all time. And he's sitting there like he wants to get the hell out of there at 6 years old.
Yeah.
So from that point on, I tried. I created a monster.
That's so, amazing.
Well, hey, Leon, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you very much. And, Lamont, you can just say hello because I got to go. Say hello and say congratulations. Hello,
good morning, Howard. I had to call you to say happy anniversary.
Okay, hello and congratulations.
And no, happy anniversary.
All right, thanks. I'm sorry I had to cut you off because Glenn and Ray are next. Dick Vermeil is going to be on with them at 11 o'clock. Hey, I can't – this is not over by a long stretch. I even had my son call. And I still – you know, whether I can do it behind his back or – this is the best sports talk radio station in the United States of America. New York might be a bigger market. Just because you're bigger doesn't mean you're better. So always remember that. And I remember the day that I did that first sports talk show, August 29th, 1986. And obviously with the pictures I've been posting on social media, I remember a lot of days, a lot of great moments, a lot of callers, a lot of people, a lot of moments. Charlie Manuel, I should drop you. Why don't you grow up? I've been grown up. So Mitch Williams wanted to punch me in the mouth. You know, it's all good. But I appreciate everybody. And I believe I'm going to be around for as long as I'm having fun. I'm doing this. Doing the Eagles games with Merrill and Mike were another part of my career. I posted a picture, interviewed DeSean Jackson right after he had that punt return to beat the Giants on the last play. You know, there's so many things that come to mind, and I thank you for making this possible. I thank all the people at WIP that have come after me, that kept this radio station and built this radio station up to what they are today. Bill Matz, I've worked before with here at the Borgata. I'm happy that I'm back at the Borgata, and I thank the people at the Borgata so much. They were so good in helping me put this together. Thank you so much, and I look forward to being here every Saturday. And once we clean up this baseball schedule and the Phillies end their season at the end of the season, be on with Joe Giglio from 6 to 7 every Tuesday and Thursday, the Brandon Graham Show on Mondays. So Saturday morning, Sunday for the game, Sunday pregame show, whenever it is, I'm there with you. So, and I'll be here. And again, I just, you know, the bottom line is I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much to everybody. I can't believe it. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to do this for 35 more years, and I'm starting now and getting emotional. Glenn and Ray are next. Thanks, Bill. Thanks to Bill Matz here. Thanks to Kyle Quinn back at the studio. And thank to every producer that I've had and everybody I've worked with. And I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. WIP Sports. I don't even know what time it is. Thanks, Glenn, for putting up with me going a little late. WIP Sports time is 10 o'clock.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.